This is 91.7 WVXU's Cincinnati Edition. I'm Jay Hanselman. That's the song Bustin' Loose from the original soundtrack to the new movie Chef, since we're just talking about movies. Now we're going to switch from summer movies to another favorite summer pastime, and that being roller coasters. The Beast at Kings Island is 35 years old. Freelance writer Lisa Murtha put together Scream, an oral history of the Beast, for the June issue of Cincinnati Magazine. She joins me along with roller coaster enthusiast Carl Eichelman, who holds the record for the most rides on the Beast, and he stopped counting at 4,400. And we're going to share some stories about the Beast and why it has entertained and thrilled millions. You can join our conversation. The number is 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and we would certainly love to hear your stories about the Beast. Again, 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. Lisa, thanks for joining me in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
And Carl, I believe, is on the phone.
Yes, I am.
And I understand, are you from, you live in Aberdeen?
I live in Aberdeen now, right.
Small world. I'm from Georgetown.
Close neighbors.
We're neighbors.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, let me start with you for your article. For some folks who may not know, let's go back way back before we talk about the birth of the Beast. Let's talk about the birth of Kings Island itself. And it was actually a broadcasting company that that bought this land and set up Kings Island as we know it today.
Correct. That was Taft Broadcasting Company, and they really had not been in the business of amusement parks. They were obviously in the business of TV and radio stations, but in those days, there were limits on the numbers of TV and radio stations that they could
own. 777.
Correct.
7 a.m.,
good.
7 FMs, and 7 TV stations.
You knew. So they were making bundles and bundles of money and didn't know what to do with it, basically, which is a problem I'd love to have, had to reinvest it in something. So they started branching out. They had purchased Hanna-Barbera, actually, and wanted a vehicle, basically, to promote those characters. And they took a little trip out to Disneyland in Anaheim, met with Roy Disney, Walt's brother, and said, you know, let's make a go of it. Let's try this amusement park thing. And kind of right at the exact same time, Coney Island was looking to make some changes. And so I don't know the exact timing, but basically they purchased Coney Island right around the same time, chose to temporarily close it, and use a lot of that staff to build the new facility up in what's now Mason. And then backing up a little bit, the property in Mason was 1,600 acres that they purchased. 1,000 of it was on the east side of I-71. And at that point, there was really nothing out there except an ammunition manufacturing facility. And one of my favorite quotes is Dudley Taft said they needed a lot of space because sometimes the powder would blow up out there. So they purchased this property and chose to build the park on it. And that in and of itself ends up dictating a lot of how the Beast ends up being the way it is.
And I think Kings Island opened 1972, 73, somewhere in that range?
I believe so. The whole project
early
was
70s.
Begun in 69.
And
but yes,
almost as soon as they opened, then they started talking about this roller coaster that we now know as the Beast. So how did it come about?
So in the theme park and amusement park industry, the goal is always to kind of be besting your competition and building the best ride, building the fastest ride, building the biggest. And they knew that they wanted to build another roller coaster up at Kings Island. They talked a little bit about relocating some from Coney because they did temporarily close it. In the end, though, the terrain was so varied. Coney Island was flat and still is. Up there at Kings Island, it's very rolling and lots of valleys, lots of hills. And when they surveyed the land, they knew that, A, they weren't going to be able to create the same kind of coasters that had been created on a flat surface, but B, they could use it as an opportunity to create something totally different, something that people hadn't seen before. And so between the desire to compete and be the best and this unique piece of property, those two things came together to kind of give birth to the thought of the Beast.
And Carl, I'm not ignoring one more question for Lisa, and I'll get to you about why you like to ride the Beast. But
enjoy listening.
It sounded to me like this was a total internal design and build from the staff at Kings Island. And I'm looking at today, And I would think that that was something that you would outsource. You would have somebody else design it. You would have somebody else build it. And maybe they did with the new Banshee that they just opened this year. But why did they? And I think they tried to get somebody from outside to do that work, but he turned them down. So they ended up doing it internally.
That is correct. That's one of my favorite things about this whole story is how much happened back then that never would have happened today, mainly for legal reasons. And Jeff Gramke talked in great detail.
And he's one of the designers?
He is. There were two designers, and they were surveyors, which means they basically had designed highways, roadways, and walkways for the park. And the park had initially approached a seasoned roller coaster designer from the Philadelphia Toboggan Company to design this ride. And he was close to retirement. He said, sorry, I can't. But he gave them a book of formulas. And he said, you guys know what you're doing. This is just like a roadway, but, you know, with a few more formulas, physics formulas involved. And so they decided to, administration decided to allow these two surveyors to go ahead and try and build the Beast and design the Beast.
And they had never designed an amusement park ride in their life.
They had never done that. And they had no access to computers. And they had nothing but each other, paper and pencil.
And using slide rules.
And slide rules to do the complex formulas.
And how long did this all take?
It took 8 months for it to be built. I'm sorry, it took a year and a half for it to be designed. And the two men, Jeff Gramke and Al Collins, who designed it, and Al was kind of the lead on that, would check each other's work. So they'd work on one section of the ride, and one would work on one would work on the other, and then they would literally swap papers like you might do in school, check each other's work.
And just real quickly, the name itself, The Beast, comes from the intense amount of work that it took to put this thing together.
Correct. When they were physically building the ride during those 8 months, it was apparently not uncommon for people to say, this is a beast of a project, and I'm sure among other things. But that came to the attention of Ruth Voss in the public relations department, and I think she presented it to them and said, why not? And I think everyone agreed across the board that it was a perfect name.
Okay, Carl, we've heard how it came into existence, so now let me turn to you. Obviously, if you stop counting at 4,400, you really like to ride the Beast. When was your first ride?
My first ride was on a Friday the 13th, believe it or not, considering today's
Friday. Well, now, is that déjà vu?
Yeah, it was April the 13th, 1979. And it was raining. It was cold. It was, you know, not the day to ride, but that made it much better because nobody else wanted to ride it, so it gave me a chance to ride it that whole day.
So you rode multiple times then on the first time?
I did. Yeah, I got six rides in that day. And, of course, they were putting cameras on the ride. Different news agencies and outlets were putting cameras on it, so we had a lot of downtime doing that while they were switching cameras. So you're sitting there waiting, all right, get it done, let's run this thing again. And I ran it, you know, until nobody else wanted to ride it, and they said, okay, let's just shut it down. It's really not, it's adverse weather, it's not worth doing it.
What kept drawing you back to the Beast? And I must confess, I don't do well with motion, so I've never even ridden a roller coaster. I can't imagine 4,000 times plus. Why keep going back?
Well, this is so different. That's what made it so much fun because, you know, you think of a roller coaster, if you look over at the Racer or most any coaster, you know, you have an idea of what they're like, and the Beast is nothing like that. The Beast is what they call a terrain coaster. It's built to fit the land that it's on, and it's just fast. That particular layout of a ride lets you just tear out. You know, you don't have to worry about losing any speed going up and down hills. You just literally, once you go over the first hill, you're just constantly dropping lower and lower in the valley, and it just picks up speed. It's a phenomenal ride, and the way it's laid out, you don't know what's coming up next. And, you know, you can look at the Racer or any other coaster, you can see it, you know what it's like. But with the Beast, that's not the case. It's always, you know, something different around the next curve. You don't know what's going to come up, and that's what I love about it.
And there was, I think, Lisa, this was in your article, and Carl, I'll ask you, I think there was this idea, is it better to ride it in the daytime or ride it at nighttime? And I would assume if you've ridden 4,000 plus times, you've done both. So which is better, daytime or nighttime?
It's a nighttime ride. There's no question about it because, of course, it's basically dark out there. There's not that much lighting out in the valley where the coaster actually sits. So at night, you really don't notice what's happening. You can't see the coaster. And it's an illusion, I'm sure, but it just feels faster at night. And that's what makes it so much fun. It really does. And there's a kind of a mentality that just kind of comes up when people are waiting to ride it at night. There's a you're being in the station, everybody starts stamping, and there's this beast, beast, beast mantra that everybody picks up on. And it's just been like that, ever since the ride came around. And once people ride it at night, I think they understand that's when you really want to ride the beast.
And I guess the other question, first car or last car?
Last car, no question. You know what's funny about that? People are afraid of the front car. And they'll go to the back. The back's the roughest part of the ride because it's like a whip, and you're being flipped around as the end of a whip. But on the front car, if you're in the front seat, you don't even pick up any speed until you're actually over a hill because you've got the whole ride to pull, the whole train to pull over the hill yet. But in the last car, you're whipped over that first hill, and of course the beast has the second hill, so you have that happens again, and most people don't realize that. So they'll ride in the back seat, and then they'll say, I'm never going to ride this thing again. It's too rough. It's too wild. We'll go in the front then, or the middle. It's a good place to ride.
And John called and asked a question for you. He wants to know, how did you get your back ready for all those rides, and after so many, do you have any back problems?
No, I don't have any problems. I do remember one saying that everything probably inside's been rearranged, but no. When you ride it, you ride it against, but you put your back against the seat, and you ride upright on it, so it's no problem with that at all.
We are talking today about the 35th anniversary of the Beast at Kings Island. My guest, a freelance writer, Lisa Murtha, who has an oral history of the Beast in the June issue of Cincinnati Magazine, and roller coaster enthusiast Carl Eichelman, who holds the record for the most rides on the Beast, and he stopped counting at 4,400. If you'd like to share your story about the Beast, you're invited to do so, 513-419-7100. Again, 513-419-7100, or talk at WVXU.org. Lisa, let's go back to when they were putting this together, and this question of wooden versus steel, and they chose to go with the wooden design.
They did. That was a turning point, really, in the industry where people were starting to gravitate towards the metal coasters, mainly so they could do things like the loops and the inversions. And wood, frankly, kind of had a stigma for a while of being more old school. But that's the very same reason why the administration at Taft Broadcasting kind of wanted to keep it. And they call it, classic, and say that it really is something they wanted to maintain in Kings Island. So they chose to work with wood on this particular project, and it didn't. The Racer is another wooden coaster that had been built right before that at Kings Island, and that kind of is credited with a resurgence in wood coasters. But I would say that the Beast has been credited with kind of bringing wood coasters to a new level.
And I think you point out in the article the immense amount of time and effort that it takes to maintain staining this woodwork.
Oh, that was one of my favorite stories. That's Chris Bainham of Bainham Painting. He was a house painter, and he had gotten a job painting Sunlight Pool, largest recirculating pool in the world, and thought, what the heck, when he saw the call for painters on the Beast, he thought, I'll just go. And was shocked when they gave him the contract, and placed an ad in the paper, and said, high pay for high heights. Was very elusive, said, meet me in the parking lot at Kings Island. Gave everybody $12 an hour, a paint brush, not a roller, not a sprayer, but a brush, and a safety belt. And they got to work. They hand brushed the entire coaster in 1986.
Carl, I'm assuming that you've probably ridden other coasters. I shouldn't assume that, but more than just the Beast. What about that wooden versus steel?
It's interesting. There is a total, as Lisa said, there is a difference there. Steel coasters are there. Most of them, if you've ridden Diamondback particularly, it's an extremely smooth ride. And it's great because you can do the loops and the spins, all the barrel rolls, all those kind of things. But on a wooden coaster, the coaster tends to give more. And as the coasters age, they do get a little bit rougher and a little bit more fun, I think, personally. But There is definitely a difference. And, you know, I don't care whether, you know, you want to put all the loops and the turns in it and barrel rolls in it. That's fine. And you can, you know, ride a steel coaster for that experience. But riding a wood coaster, it's a classic coaster, and you just want something you get on and you just go, you know, and I think that's what makes the Beast so much fun.
Would, the Banshee is the new coaster, which I'm assuming is steel. With all the regulations, would it even be possible today to build the Beast?
I think you could, sure. You can imagine what the cost would be on it. And we're talking about steel, too, back in the days. You know, would the Beast be able to be built of steel? I think it would be totally cost prohibitive, especially when it's a 7,400-foot ride. And it would be cost prohibitive. But I just don't know, you know, about that. Give me that wooden coaster any day, and the experience is so much better.
And I'll just interject there. When they built Kings Island, it cost $30 million to build the entire park. The Beast itself cost $3.6 million. So that was a pretty high percentage of the overall cost. And I think the other thing that would kind of be prohibitive today is literally finding that much land to build something.
We are talking about the Beast, and if you'd like to share your story, 513-419-7100. Lee is calling from Middletown with a question. Lee, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I have a question about the Beast. Has it changed over the years? Because it seems like they've put some brakes in some of the curves, and it seems to be a little slower than it was in my youth.
Carl, you're our expert. Has it changed over the years?
They have. I was surprised, too, because you know, it's been a few years since I've ridden it, but I noticed that they have changed some of the way they brake. They used to be they called sled brakes, and they used to just lift the train off the track. Now, I've noticed in some of the latest videos there's a lot more squeeze brakes on it and the trim brakes that they use to tend to slow it down a little bit. And, again, a lot of times that's done because as the coaster ages, you know, they want to keep the maintenance down as much as they can, and it's like a steel coasters don't have a problem quite as much, but wooden ones do, and they age. And the Beast 35 years now, certainly not the same as it was when initially built back in 78-79. So yeah, they have slowed down a bit. It certainly runs longer now. I think it's 4 minutes and 10 seconds or so. It used to be we could do that ride in, you know, just a little over 3 minutes. So it has slowed down. And a lot of times it is just to protect the ride, help the maintenance on it.
Lee, we appreciate that call. And Lisa, I think, too, in your article, when they first opened it, they had to make a change almost immediately, was how to get people on and off of the ride.
That's right, yes. They were finding that people were so excited when they got off the ride that they wanted to stop and chat about it. And the business of the park, you know, they kind of wanted to be moving people in pretty quickly, in and out. So they had to kind of change the way that the number of cars on the train and the way that they literally brought people on and off of it.
Carl, when you were talking, answering Lee's question, you said it had been several years since you have ridden it. So have you retired?
I've retired from, you know, doing the 10 rides every day, because it's really, for me now, it's a 90-minute ride just one way to get there from Aberdeen now. And, you know, I've retired from IRS, where I used to work, too. So it was time to fully retire, coasters and all. I'll still go, you know, to the park when people want to go out. But it takes way too much time to do it now. And when I was doing it, I was working night shift. I could go out all day, had all day to ride it when the crowds were lighter. And the goal was always to get at least 10 rides a day in. And now, you know, there's other things to do, too. So, it's in the article, maybe I'll do 44 more rides, so I'll get all fours all the way across the board on it or something like that.
We had someone post on Twitter, was the Beast in the Brady Bunch episode that was taped at Kings Island, or has it been in any other TV shows? For the Brady Bunch, it probably wasn't open yet.
It didn't even exist then, no. The ride was not built back then.
So we know it wasn't in the Brady Bunch, but what about other TV shows?
I don't recall any movie that's, I know that there's been none that, you know, while I was involved with the ride. There were a lot of segments, you know, things that the PM magazines and different shows from back in those, in the 80s, that used it a lot as special features, but as far as an actual movie or anything like that, no, I don't think it was.
Lisa, was there one thing in your research of this that surprised you, or maybe was the most interesting piece besides what we talked about earlier, the painting?
Well, like I said, I think just how different things are today than they were back then. And I would say the most surprising piece was how they used to break in the ride. Obviously, it closes for the winter, and then they have to reopen it in March. And it's slow at first, and it has to literally run the course tons and tons of times in order to work the kinks out and pick up speed. And now they use something called water dummies. They fill the cars with these dummies. But way back when, they used the mechanics.
I remember reading
And my favorite quote, I think, is from Bob Hazelwood, who's now a mechanic on the ride. And he said, "You would ride it until it made it all the way up the hill or until you got sick, whichever came first."
How, when you were putting this, you talked to a lot of people. How difficult was it to get all of these people gathered up to do this oral history? Or was it relatively easy?
You know, it was relatively easy. Kings Island was incredibly helpful. But I will tell you, there's one person who was really hard to track down, and that was Charlie Dinn.
And his role?
His role was sort of as the overseer of the construction of the ride. And he's now in Florida and very much retired. And so it was a lot of fun to finally get in touch with him. I think a lot of the people that I spoke with in the article had not spoken with him in many years.
Carl, with all of your rides, if you had to, what will the legacy be for the Beast?
I think it's just for one of the things, you know, they credit the Racer for bringing a resurgence in coasters, which it certainly did. But I think the Beast brought the mega coaster into reality, because I think a lot of parks probably question whether or not they should go that route. And Kings Island took the chance, and coasters could be built that really were a lot of fun. And look at the, you know, considering 35 years, and it's still probably one of the greatest coasters. People still rate it. A lot of people still rate it as number one. So I think that's one of the things that this particular coaster has done. It's not one of the coasters you can get on, ride it, and say, okay, I've ridden it. But I'm a perfect example. It's just, you just can't get enough of the Beast, and I think that's one of the great things about it.
Lisa, I'll give you the final word. We talk about the Kings Island this year opened the Banshee. Will it be getting the same amount of attention when it's 35 years old?
Oh, I don't know. That's a great question. I know it got rave reviews right out of the gate. I don't even think I saw one bad review of it. But that remains to be seen, I'm sure. It's a different world, and I think Carl talks about this a lot, or at least he did to me, which is that the race to build the biggest, the fastest, the best is even more intense in the world today, in our world of immediate instant gratification. So I'm not sure if it'll be able to do the same things.
We've been discussing the 35th anniversary of the Beast roller coaster at Kings Island. My guests were freelance writer Lisa Murtha, who put together Scream, an oral history of the Beast for the June issue of Cincinnati Magazine, and you'll find a link to that on our website, wvxu.org. Also, thanks to roller coaster enthusiast Carl Eichelman, who holds the record for the most rides on the Beast. Thank you both for being here. I appreciate it. And thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available on our website, wvxu.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our technical director was Kevin Rowinski. Science Friday is coming up next on WVXU. Have a good weekend and happy Father's Day. I'm Jay Hanselman.